The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How do we know that the way to be born again is by believing in Jesus for salvation that cannot be lost? Well, that's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to today's discussion. I hope you do too. We're currently taking questions from listeners not so unlike yourself. If you've got a question, you can send it to us through email, radio@faithalone.org. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean. I'm Bob Wilkin.
And note, I noticed people in Florida.
What about Florida?
I was in Tampa. Tampa recently, preaching at Bayside Community Church there. Great, great group of people. A church of true Bible nerds. I loved it. Theology nerds. We were having discussions around a couple family tables, and man, we were talking about Gog and Magog, and we're talking about the timing of the millennium and where that fits in between the time between the rapture and the millennium and the millennium and the eternal state, and are there gaps in the timeline? I was like, wow, this is great. Well, here's some questions. Here's a question from Jim. And Jim says, in our previous program, we said that there's no verse in the Bible that says we invite Jesus into our heart to be born again. And then he says, then you made the following statement moments later. The way you are born again is by believing in Jesus for salvation that cannot be lost. And Jim says, but there's no verse that says that either. So where do we get the idea that believing in Jesus for salvation that cannot be lost is a more biblical way than saying invite Jesus into your hearts?
Well, I think there are passages, Jim, that say that. Look at John 3. Verses 16, 17, 18. How about reading that?
Now, we all know those. These are famous verses. Right. But the 17 and 18, people kind of, you know, they don't necessarily read or memorize.
Right.
For God's love of the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Okay, now notice verses 17 and 18 explain verse 16. The perishing in verse 16 is explained as what in verse 18?
It means that you're not going to be condemned.
Okay, so eternal condemnation is perishing. And the one who believes in Jesus will never be eternally condemned.
And we know it's eternal condemnation because the opposite is eternal life.
Right. Now notice he talks about eternal or everlasting life in verse 16. And then in verse 17, he equates that with something. What does he equate it to in verse 17?
Saved.
Being saved.
Yeah. Which is one of the few occurrences
yes.
of eternal salvation for the
in
word
John,
saved, right?
In John's gospel. Yeah. Right. And so the point here is the salvation in verse 17 is never perish,
yeah.
has everlasting life that cannot be lost.
Right.
So it's right here, and it's very simple. Another one would be John 11.
Well, let me push back,
okay.
because
right.
I wonder if Jim would say this. He would probably agree that salvation is eternal,
right.
and salvation means you don't get condemned. But Jesus doesn't specifically say, you know, we're believing in him for that. He's saying, if you believe in him, that's what you get. Do you see what I'm saying?
Well, to a degree, here's the thing. When Jesus makes these statements, you're correct. He's making a statement. He's not really inviting people to believe. I suppose implicitly you can say he's doing that.
Okay, so that's an interesting
point. He's stating the reality.
He's just saying, this is what happens.
This is it. The one who believes will never perish, has everlasting life. The one who doesn't is condemned and is going to remain condemned unless they come to faith before they die.
Right. And by the way, what Jesus is saying here is he's describing the kind of salvation that he brings.
Exactly.
And I think that's important to understand because there are lots of people who say they believe that Jesus is their Savior, and they're obviously clueless about the kind of salvation that he gives.
Right, so they don't really believe he's their Savior.
They don't really believe that he's their Savior.
They believe he's their potential Savior.
Yeah, or the guy who kind of
gives me provisional salvation.
Yeah, or you know, he gives us a shot to be saved
gives
on our own
effort. Gives me a good chance, yeah. By the way, in John chapter 4, verse 10, where Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, He says, if you knew the gift of God, that's Jesus, and the salvation that he gives, ultimately it's the everlasting life that he gives that comes from the living water, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.
Right.
And then in verse 14, he says, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Well, this is emphatic in Greek. This will never happen. Never, ever.
Right.
Once you drink this water one time, there will be no thirsting again. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Well, the living water is not everlasting life. The living water is the message that Jesus is the Messiah who gives everlasting life to those who believe in him.
Right.
And once we believe that, that springs up into us into everlasting life. And notice what the woman at the well says. She says, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come to draw.
Right.
Now, like Nicodemus in John 3 thinking about physical rebirth, she's thinking about physically drinking water.
This is almost like a pattern in John. Jesus says something like that. You need to be born again. Nicodemus is like, well, how do I get back into my mother's womb? And then Jesus says here, I'm going to give you living water and you're going to well up to everlasting life. And she says, well, good. I don't ever want to come to this well again. And later in John 6, he'll say, you'll have to eat of my flesh and blood. And they're thinking he's talking about cannibalism.
Right.
You know, every time they misunderstand the illustration, but each time Jesus is using an
illustration. He's calling them to faith.
Of believing in him.
Right. It seems to me that what we're seeing all the way through here is the promise that if you believe in me, you get the gift of God, which is everlasting life. Or Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, it's called salvation.
Right.
Right. Although in Ephesians 2, 5, it's being made alive. So everlasting life and salvation are equated in the New Testament. John 11, 25 to 27, especially verse 26, he who lives and believes in me shall never die.
Right.
So Jim's right in that it's hard to find one verse that says that, but I think John 3, 16, 17, and 18 does say the salvation he gives is permanent.
Right.
I think Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 does as well. And I think John 11, 25 to 27 does. John 4, 1 through 26 does. There's lots of passages.
So when we say the way you're born again is by believing in Jesus for salvation that cannot be lost, that's basically like our, New Living Translation paraphrase. You know, it's our paraphrase of these teachings of Jesus saying, you believe in me, you get everlasting life. You get never thirsting. You get no condemnation. You get never perishing.
This is a good point. And most of the time, we prefer to talk about everlasting life.
Yeah.
And the reason is simple. If you read John's gospel, as you mentioned earlier, John 3:17 with the reference to save is rare in John's gospel.
Right.
What's common in John's gospel are the references to everlasting life, sometimes translated eternal life, life that can't be lost. And that's repeated all the way through John's gospel. So I think in our evangelistic conversations or talking about the message of life, we should be talking about everlasting life for the most part, but we do use synonyms. So occasionally, that's probably some kind of expression we use to keep from saying everlasting life 20 times in the same broadcast.
Yeah, and people need to understand. We talk to people about this every day. I don't know how many people we talk to every day about this. So it gets a little repetitive for us. And so, yeah, sometimes we'll vary the expression just for our own sake. But here, let's raise another point. What is the importance of believing in Jesus for something? Why is it the for?
Okay, this is a great point. And Dr. John Piper is a very well-known former pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church and also a theologian. Now he's a retired pastor, but still writes and speaks. He wrote a book criticizing N.T. Wright, New Testament theologian N.T. Wright. In the book, he points out that Wright said, anyone who believes that Jesus died and rose again is justified, whether they believe in justification by faith alone or not. And Piper said, no, that's wrong. To believe that Jesus died and rose again is not believing in him for anything. You got to believe in him for something. And Piper went on to say the for something we need to believe in him is justification. Now, I've met people when I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ. I remember a young man said he wanted to pray the prayer and the four laws. And I said, why? And he said, well, I'm an accounting student and I'm under a lot of stress and I want Jesus to help me with my stress. I was like, okay, let's revisit this.
Yeah.
He's believing in Jesus, but for the wrong thing. Or someone's believing in Jesus so they'll have a good marriage. That's not guaranteed. What's guaranteed is if you believe in Jesus, you get everlasting life. And the verse I like to use is 1 Timothy 1, what is it,
16?
And where Paul says, I'm a pattern of those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life.
We're calling people to believe in Jesus as their Savior. But Savior is not an empty term.
Right.
Savior means something. Savior is just shorthand for what Jesus can do for you. Eternal salvation, this everlasting life. So when we're calling you to believe in Jesus as your Savior, rather than just kind of leave that as an empty term so that people think, well, Jesus is going to save me from stress from my, you know, my accounting exams.
Right.
No, we want you to understand Jesus' saviorhood in the way that he defined it in the verses we just went over.
Right.
He's the one who gives everlasting life to the believer.
Right.
That's why we say for. You're believing him for the salvation that he brings. He's the Savior that brings a particular kind of salvation, and it's eternal salvation.
Jesus makes these declarative statements like in John 3:14 through 18, or with the woman at the well in John 4. And that's what he's doing. He's stating, here's the reality.
Yeah.
Believe it or don't believe it, but that's the truth.
It's not even really an invitation. He's not pushing anyone to believe. Right? He's saying the truth.
Implicitly it is,
right.
But on an explicit level, it's like saying the Dallas Cowboys are probably not going to win the Super Bowl in this next year. Well, if I was sure, if I was God in the flesh, I could say so-and-so is going to win the Super Bowl.
Right.
Believe it or don't believe it, but that's what's going to happen.
Right. It's like a lawyer just presenting the evidence. Here's the evidence.
Yeah.
You draw your own conclusion. You know.
I don't know. Did we get off in the weeds?
Did we get on the way? We might have gotten in the weeds by the end there, but I hope we've kind of maybe explained our position to Jim of why it's important to just say what kind of salvation the Savior brings. That's what Jesus did.
Right.
He explained the kind of salvation he brings, and so that's what we do when we evangelize. And that's what you should do when you evangelize, too. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's program, we're going to talk about whether or not Old Testament believers were born again. So join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.